You're listening to SBS News.
In their retirement, Karen and Danny Ellis are putting their mending skills to use. They travel to organised community repair events around Victoria to lend a hand with fixing things.
We're affectionately known as the Tinkering Travellers. And in my case, I repair or mend textiles. That's my skill. And I also troubleshoot sewing machine issues.
Mr. Ellis repairs kettles, DVD players, toys, toasters, clocks and lamps, among other things.
I just love the thought of having something that's broken and just bringing it back to life. And some of this stuff is very old and it's a lot of sentimental value, and the smile on these people's faces when they see the light come on or the radio turn on or the record player starts working, it's really heartwarming to see all that.
But he says increasing product complexity is making it hard to get into some items, and purchasing a single replacement part can be troublesome.
You've either got to buy a whole unit and you only want one little part, but the cost to buy that whole unit is more than the toaster or the kettle or the DVD player or the computer.
A Productivity Commission report released this month found that there are significant and unnecessary barriers to fixing some products in Australia. It states that action by consumers and manufacturers could not only make repairs easier and less costly, but also reduce harm to the environment.
Good product design, the reuse of materials that would otherwise end up in landfill, and greater awareness of consumer rights and responsibilities can all play a part in reducing harm to the environment caused by the needless disposal of products that are no longer desired.
The report makes more than a dozen recommendations, including that the federal government introduces a labelling scheme within 5 years to provide consumers with information about a product's repairability and durability. John Gutsakis is director of eWaste Watch, a non-profit organisation based in Australia with a focus on accelerating the sustainability of electronics. He says a labelling scheme would allow shoppers to make better informed choices.
We need to remember that a label is the end point in a process, and that, you know, there will need to be standards developed and criteria upon which whatever the product category that's chosen is assessed by. And that needs to go through a structured and formal process to arrive at a particular score. And this is what we're seeing with the repairability index in France, that it's really quite a well-designed system to developing standards, assessing those. It's involved industry in the development of that scheme, and it would need some sort of oversight and review and auditing.
He says consumers increasingly want to extract maximum value out of their devices, and that's achieved by keeping them going longer.
The mantra of, you know, buy less, choose well, and make it last is really emerging in many parts of the community, and some manufacturers and retailers are engaging with that in a very positive way, I must say.
In order for third parties to be able to fix products, they need access to information like repair manuals and diagnostic data. But intellectual property protections and digital locks pose a significant challenge in restricting access to those. Professor of Law at Griffith University, Leanne Wiseman, explains.
Everyday devices such as our fridges and washing machines and even our lighting and electronic goods around the home, a lot of these have computer software that's embedded in them, and that's protected by copyright also, but also manufacturers place locks over that copyright work to stop people from accessing it. And that essentially creates a barrier if you try to open the device or open the device, especially to repair that device.
The Productivity Commission report recommends the Copyright Act is amended to include an exception that allows for the reproduction and sharing of repair information under certain circumstances. It also says the ban on repairers sharing or obtaining tools to get around digital locks should be removed. Professor Wiseman says it's a positive move.
For example, if you think about motor vehicle repair, A lot of independent repairers just cannot access the diagnostic software that they need from the car manufacturers to repair our vehicles. And so we're finding that we have to take our vehicles back to the original manufacturer.
A landmark law change intended to increase competitiveness in vehicle repairs will come into force in July next year. The Australian Automotive Aftermarket Association pushed for the reform for a decade, but its CEO, Stuart Charity, has concerns about the Productivity Commission's recommendation that the Vehicle Service and Repair Information Sharing Scheme be reviewed in just 3 years.
We're not convinced that 3 years is enough time to get the scheme fully up and running and operating as intended. So we'd probably recommend a 5-year review period.
He says that would give the sector much more time to address any issues with the rollout of the scheme.
This is internationally groundbreaking legislation, and it will take time for both the car companies to fully comply and get their systems in place, but also for independent repairers out there, and there's 28,000 independent repairers that we represent, they need the training and the tools and the skill sets to be able to fully utilise the information that's going to become available under that new scheme.
Karen Ellis says it's unfortunate that community repair didn't get mentioned in the Productivity Commission's report.
We're doing the hard work at the grassroots level, saving one item at a time from landfill, and it was disappointing, yes, that the Productivity Commission did not make a recommendation to the federal government in relation to funding community repair events like the Scottish Government is about to do following COP26.
The federal government is considering the Productivity Commission report and is expected to respond next year. Amy Hall, SBS News.